Exodus 28. Someday I may get a tailor to make me an outfit like the high priest outfit. But until then, you will just have to listen to the description as it's found in the Word of God. Picture it yourself. And a good thing to do is this. Read it and then look at pictures that men have made of it and see if the two go together. So often you can read what it says here and then look at the picture man makes and say, how did he ever come to that conclusion? You can't find the answer to it. So let's read now, starting at verse 31. I told you a little bit about the breastplate, the ephod, and this is the robe of the ephod. And I'm going to read that, and also about the mitre. The word mitre is simply something that they wrap around the head, a turban, and it's translated bonnet, something like that elsewhere. Tires, little things that they wrap around their head. Now, starting at verse 31. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And it shall have a hole for the head in the midst thereof. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole of it, as it were the hole of a coat of mail, that it be not rent. And upon the skirt of it, thou shalt make pomegranate of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, round about the skirt thereof, and bells of gold between them, round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the skirt of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron the minister, and the sound thereof shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engraving of a signet, holy to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a lace of blue, and it shall be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy thing, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt weave the coat in chequer work of linen, and thou shalt make a mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make a girdle the work of the embroiderer, and so forth. But one other thing, look at verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover the flesh of their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs. They shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they go in unto the tent of meeting, or when they come near unto the altar of the minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. And there is one more that I shan't turn to, but in chapter 30, verse 20, it speaks about the washing that must take place, that they die not. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the beauty of these garments worn by the high priest. Our Father, how present, how glorious, how beautiful they are. We thank you more for him whom they represent, thy Son. Do we not sing that song, Sarah, Lord Jesus? We are thankful that all that man can put upon his body to make himself look presentable and beautiful and dignified and glorious, thy Son, apart from these things, does all of that. We thank you, our God, and we desire to see thy Son in these garments that the holy, that the high priest wore, these holy garments and these garments of glory and of beauty. So bless us this night. Thou dost know our sins. We confess them, forgive us, and cleanse us as thou hast promised. And thou dost know the souls of thy children need strength and food. Feed them, we pray. Bless us this hour, we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Just bypassing so many things that I want to tell you that you need to know, but I cannot tell you. We'll simply look at this robe of the ephod and then the mitre of the turban upon the head of the high priest and see what truth it contains. All of the garments worn by the high priest are made of cloth, except the golden bells that hang down from the cloth, the golden plate that is upon the mitre, and, as you find from chapter 39, the gold wires that were worked into the breastplate and in the ephod. Most of his clothing was of cloth, fine linen. Fine linen with the colors blue and purple and scarlet. But at times, you had metal worked in and also resting upon and hanging from. So we have cloth and we have metal placed side by side, worked in and hanging down from the garment of cloth. Whenever you have cloth, fine linen, it always speaks of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. And when a color is added to that cloth, it is simply another definition and explanation and detail concerning the nature of the humanity of Christ. Plain material, Christ in his humanity. But when God has a color in that material, then it is some particular aspect of the humanity of Christ. And, needless to say, when from this material which is Christ, we have bells and pomegranate hanging down, it is telling us something about the Lord Jesus. Two things, and I've read the commentators, and they are brilliant men, but they have failed to read and see how God sets forth typology and symbolism, and because of that, they take guesses, and some of them are close, but they're not close enough to be correct. And so, in the simplest possible way, the pomegranates are Christ in his fruitfulness, and the golden bells are Christ in his testimony. The bells make a sound. That's important. I showed you this last week, but it will not hurt to refresh your mind about it. It says that the bells that hang from the skirt of the robe of the ephod, that when Aaron goes in or when Aaron comes out, the sound of the bells will be heard, that he die not. And then we have pomegranate hanging down, and the pomegranate are emblems of fruit. We have fruit in the scripture. It speaks of many kinds of fruit, but the one fruit that God says is most appropriate to adorn the skirts of the robe of the ephod is the fruit pomegranate. And it speaks of the juice of the pomegranate and the color of the pomegranate and the fragrance of the pomegranate. All of these things are spoken of. And so you have pomegranate, and all of these characteristics of the pomegranate itself are not set forth in the pomegranate that is hung upon the skirt of Aaron's robe, because the significance of the pomegranate is found in the colors of the pomegranate. Notice, you shall make pomegranate of blue and purple and scarlet. And so whatever the pomegranate might be in a physical way, God is telling us that this fruit has this significance designated by the colors. And I told you about the color blue, that's all that's necessary. Blue, according to Numbers 15, is an emblem, a symbol of Christ, the rememberer, and the doer of all God's commandments. Blue, Christ, the rememberer and doer of all God's commandments. Christ, the obedient one. And the other colors depict something of the person of Christ, some aspect of his humanity, and God put these three colors before. Now, I said that the pomegranate are Christ in his fruitfulness, and the bells are Christ in his testimony. And it tells us this, that the testimony of the Lord Jesus, though he spoke with human lips, and the Bible tells us this of Christ, a body didst thou prepare me. The Lord Jesus had a body, as truly a body as yours and mine. But that body that spoke, the lips that uttered words, these were words that God symbolizes by a golden bell. And the sound that a golden bell makes is a sound of pure gold. And with Christ's human lips, he spoke golden words, he spoke gold, words that were like unto the divine sounds of heaven. And though he was an earthly man, yet he was a man from heaven, and his lips spoke divine words, and his words were pure gold. If you ask, who spoke the words? The lips of a man spoke them. What were his words? His words were pure gold. They were divine words. That is what God would have us to understand. I'll tell you more about that in a moment, God willing. But I want you to understand about the fruit. It says in John 12, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so the corn of wheat fell into the ground and it died. And God says, the fruit is going to be depicted by the pomegranate around the skirts of my son, the high priest. And so you look at the pomegranate and you say, this is Christ, the fruitful one, who died and out of his death came life and pomegranate all around. But what is so precious is this, and it thrills my heart to think of it, that the fruit that is around Christ garment is identical to the Christ who wore the garment. You see the beauty of that? I told you that the ephod was blue and purple and scarlet. That's Christ in his humanity, the characteristics of Christ in his humanity. What about the fruit, the pomegranate around the skirts of his garment, the same color as the person of Christ in his humanity? This is what Romans 8 tells us. It said, whom God did foreknow, then he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And whatever the son is, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, the fruit is as well. It says that Adam begat a son in his own likeness. And therefore, whatever a piece of fruit that would symbolize Adam would be, then hanging on his skirt would be a piece of fruit that was identical to it. But thank God, whatever kind of person Christ is, and the ones that he begat, are like unto him who begat them. And that is our hope, and that is the truth of us even now. As he was, so are we in this world. And it tells us that we are partakers of a divine nature, and what Christ is, we are. But what is so beautiful is this. If I ask you, how many pomegranates were there around the skirt of the robe of the ephod, do you know? Of course you don't know. We are not told. But how many pomegranates were there on the pillars? Jachin and Boaz. Do you know? Now that you should know. 400. Think now. 2 sets of pomegranates, some of them associated with the priest in the tabernacle upon the skirt of the robe of the ephod, and 400 pomegranates on the top, when it speaks about the chapters of the capitals, on the top of these pillars that are 18 cubits high, 27 feet high, you have chapters that are 5 more cubits high, and in these chapters, you have 400 pomegranates. You see the abundance of fruit that Christ bore. You look and say, well, there was so little fruit that Christ bore. 400 pomegranates. And in the temple, they are not pomegranates of cloth, but they are pomegranates of brass. And the pomegranates, when they are upon the skirts of the high priest, they are with the priest wherever he goes. If the priest goes in, the fruit is with him. If the priest goes out, the fruit is with him. It says, thus shall we ever be with the Lord. But this is an unsettled state when Christ is going out and coming in. And that is our life of wilderness journey on earth. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Christ is with us and we are with Christ. But the time is coming when the tabernacle that was portable, they took it and moved it wherever God wanted it moved. The temple speaks of the millennium when there will be moving no more. It is not that God will say, the temple is here today and there tomorrow and over there the next day. But the temple is the fixed state of righteousness, as the tabernacle is the transient state of righteousness. And then, notice, instead of hanging down from the skirt of Christ, marks of the fruitfulness of his obedience unto God. He was obedient unto death, and he fell into the ground and died and brought forth much fruit. Now, that is pictured in Christ as the fruit bearer himself. But now, in the millennium, these pomegranates that hung down are now exalted 27 feet and more on high, and they are no longer of cloth, but they are made of brass. Think of this. They are of this composition in the temple, and that composition is that of brass, like unto the brazen altar where Christ suffered and bore our sins in his own body. They are of that composition which speaks of this. They also in Christ, I am crucified with Christ, and now judgment has been endured, and they are of brass like the brazen altar. They are exalted on high, and they are associated with these two words. He shall establish, and he is strong, and they are made of brass. And so we see three things, that the pomegranates in the millennium speak of our establishment and our strength and our permanence, all of these things, and our exaltation, because they are so high that you would have to lift your eyes to see them. Now, we are down close to the earth, but in that coming day, we are going to be in a fixed state, and in a glorified state, and in an exalted state, and this is what God tells us. There was a study in itself, a comparison of the temple with the tabernacle. But here God says, as long as the tabernacle's existence persists, he said, this is how you are going to be looked at as a pomegranate. But in a coming day, you shan't see me on the skirts of Christ alone, but you'll see me exalted on high, represented by one of those 400 pomegranates. It speaks of them both in Kings and Chronicles and Jeremiah. It's remarkable. Read about the pomegranate. Thrilling. That's all that I can tell you about the pomegranates now. And so here is Christ. And Christ bears with him, wherever he goes, the fruit of his obedience. And also, he carries with him the sound that he gave when he was on earth and when he went back to heaven. It says that when he goes into the presence of God, there is that pure gold sound. And when he comes out from the presence of God, there is that pure gold sound. Which means this, that the same sound that is heard in the presence of God is the sound that is heard in the presence of man. It is not that Christ speaks one thing on earth to men and something different to God, but his words are golden to the Father's ear, as they are golden to our ear, and the golden, pure, divine words are the good news of the gospel of peace that Christ preached. And the good news and the golden words to the Father is, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And so God says, I must hear that sound when Aaron goes in. Why? Because if we have no intercessor in heaven, we are lost. Tell me what would have happened to Peter when he denied Christ three times unless the Lord Jesus had said, I have made supplication to thee that thy faith fail not. What if there were no one in heaven making a sound in the ear of God for us? But when Christ goes in, the high priest, that sound is made. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And therefore, our Savior makes a sound when he goes into the presence of God. And also, when he came among men, it said he preached unto them the good news of the kingdom. He sat down and said, blessed are the pure in heart. The Lord Jesus was constantly making that pure gold sound in the ears of men and in the ears of God. And God says it must be so. Why? Why is he going to die if he doesn't make that sound? For the simple reason that Aaron pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. And a Lord Jesus Christ that does not intercede with the Father is worthy of death. And a Lord Jesus Christ that does not speak good news of salvation to men is worthy of death. And God says, this type shall not be spoiled. I shall have Aaron depicting my son as the one who speaks to the ear of the Father and to the ear of man. And he has to be this way to be thy not. That's why I told you of 1 in 30:20, and I read you the two scriptures in chapter 28. Three things that must be present in the high priest. The sound must be heard that he die not. He must wear the linen breeches that he die not. And also in chapter 30, verse 20, he must wash that he die not. What does that mean? God says, I insist upon these three characteristics of my son to be manifested to man. First of all, the words he spoke in heaven and on earth being pure gold, they must be spoken, or else, if Aaron misrepresents him, he shall die. Also, the nakedness of Aaron must be clothed. The unworthy nakedness of Aaron, and if he does not have these linen breeches upon his nakedness to cover his shame, and Christ had no nakedness to cover, he was far purer than Adam and Eve in the garden. But for Aaron to manifest this absence of the guilt of nakedness, Aaron had to put the linen breeches on. But our Savior was clean all the time. When he touched the leper, he was still clean. No matter what the Lord Jesus did, he was clean. But Aaron had to wash at the laver before he went into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, as soon as he came out, he had to wash at the laver again. I might tell you something interesting here. Always, as soon as there is a little break, if I can study some more, I will go and study. And the Lord's Supper is at 9:30 many places. And so after the Lord's Supper, immediately I go and I study until the 11 o'clock service. And one brother wrote me a letter, and he said, please tell me one thing. He said, I know that you were clean when you went to the Lord's Supper. How did you get defiled back in that little room studying all by yourself? Please send me an answer. And I was just waiting for such a request. I didn't know it, but I was. I said, would you please tell me how Aaron got defiled when he was in the presence of God from then till the time he came out to the labor? I couldn't tell you that. But what did God say he had to do? He had to wash when he came out. And so whether we are clean or unclean, God says this ritual must be observed, because I always pray, Father, thou knowest our sins. What sins have we committed? What sins did Aaron commit when he was in the presence of God? But God said, when you come out, you have to wash at the laver, or else you're going to die. And so there must be cleanness. There must be nakedness that was covered, and there must be the testimony. These three things must be in the high priest at all times. And if they are not in the high priest, and even in his son, some of them, they're going to die. Why? because they have spoiled this picture which depicts our Savior as our great high priest. Our Savior is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but he is also a priest after the pattern, after the likeness of Aaron. And God says, I insist on certain things. For this reason, you look at the high priest and you see Christ. In ever so many particulars, God says, in these three particulars, my son has no nakedness that must be covered, but you do. My son has no uncleanness, but you do. You must wash. And at the same time, my son was never guilty of being silent in preaching the word of God, in speaking the word in my presence. You must not be as well. And God insists upon these things. And seeing that, knowing that they were going to die if these things were not present in Aaron, then I know that they were all present in my Savior. And so my Savior is clean, and my Savior has no nakedness to be concerned about, and my Savior also is articulate. He is speaking my name in the presence of God. All right, just this little bit now concerning the miser. It says, look at verse 36 for a moment, just a few thoughts here. And thou shalt make a mitre or a turban, something you wrap around your head. Thou shalt make a plate, that is, the plate, first of all, of pure gold, and engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holy to the Lord. This is the word that's ordinarily translated holy. It's holiness in the King James. But you write on it, holy to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a lace of blue, and it shall be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the iniquity of the holy things when the children of Israel shall hallow in all there, and so forth and so on. All right, first of all, the word plate is translated elsewhere almost all the time, a flower. What did that plate look like? I do not know. But I know that elsewhere, all flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof as the flower of grass. And so here is the word, flower, but inasmuch as they're going to put it upon his forehead on this mitre, they just say, well, it must be a plate. Well, what is its shape? I do not know. But though it's translated plate, it's not like the plate that they beat thin and cut into wires. It's a different word. But this is the word that is translated flower. And if that's so, think of a flower of pure gold upon the forehead of Christ. But it is not simply a flower of pure gold, but upon it is engraven certain words. Now, I told you about the curious girdle of the ephod. I told you it literally is one word, genius. And without it having written upon it the word genius, when anyone that knew the symbolism of the cunning work of the belt of the girdle, he would look at it and he would understand one word, genius. Who is this man that's wearing the robe of the ephod? He is a genius. He is the man that has all the answers. I told you in Ecclesiastes 7:25, it says Ecclesiastes was trying to find out the meaning of things. And this is the root word for Christ who wears the curious girdle, the cunning band of the ephod. It's the word genius. You have to look at that and interpret it for yourself. But you do not have to interpret when you look at that plate, that gold plate upon his forehead, because it says, holy to the Lord. And what could be more evident? The man upon whom you are looking is holy to the Lord. You have to look at the blue and say, he's the obedient one. You have to look at the belt or the band of the girdle, and you have to say, he is the genius. He has all the answers. But when you look at the plate upon the mitre, you do not have to do any interpreting at all. It says, holy to the Lord. And that's the very thing that was spoken of when our Savior was born, speaking about the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee.
the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, wherefore also that holy thing that shall be begotten shall be called the Son of God. And here is Aaron, and on his forehead is holy to the Lord. And so in addition to being the obedient one and the articulate one, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One. And it says, and I'm not going into the details of this, but I'll give you the third of this trilogy. It says that three parts of Aaron's body are going to bear things. It says, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod, to be stones of memorial for the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his shoulders. And so you had the names of the children of Israel borne upon his shoulders. But now, we have something else. Look down at verse 30. It says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And so we have his shoulders, and their names are borne before God. We have his heart, and their names are borne before God. And now we have his head, his forehead, and it says, he shall bear upon his forehead these that are representative of the children of Israel. That's all I want to tell you for now. But remember, the shoulders and the heart and the head, the forehead of Christ, are all available to us, and they are the parts of the body that God brings to our attention. And so his shoulders are the strength. He supports it. His heart represents the faculties. It speaks of the reins, the intelligence, and the forehead speaks of, and this is what is more difficult, because we usually say, well, the head, that's what we think with. But in the scripture, it is the heart that is the seat of the faculties, the intelligence. But it said, thy forehead was like a harlot's forehead. Their foreheads were hard. And so this is the disposition of the Lord Jesus. And so we have his faculties and his strength and his disposition, and all of these are for us, to support us, to hold us up, to bear us up. And one last thing. It says that this flower, this plate upon the mitre, it is held in place by a lace of blue. There it is again. You have the lace of blue holding the breastplate to the ephod along with the golden chain. And you have the lace of blue holding this gold plate to the mitre by a lace of blue. You have the robe of the ephod, all of blue. And so we have the obedience of Christ constantly brought before us. Christ is ours. This wonderful high priest is thrilling because his shoulders and his heart and his head are all at our disposal, and he uses them all for the blessings of his church. This is our Savior. This is our high priest. Consider him. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the man who came from heaven to earth, and we are thankful now for that man who left earth and went back to heaven. We are thankful that we are there, Father, represented by him. Our names are on his shoulders and upon his heart, and thoughts concerning us are upon his forehead. We rejoice in this, our God. Thou dost know how often we feel alone, abandoned, deserted. But we are thankful that we are in heaven, and thou dost know our name, and we have a representative there. He came to earth to save us. He's in heaven to intercede for us, and he's coming again to receive us. And some of these precious truths we've considered tonight about our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, make them precious to our hearts, we pray, in his name. Amen.